There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Stop!
Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamer Tag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
I won this one.
Come on. Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 552. And yes, I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Danny, a.k.a. Godfrey. And joining me this week, as always, my co-host. Let's start off with Pete Rock. Pete, what's up?
What up?
Good, man. By the way, great job. Last week's episode was good. Monday's episode. Yeah.
I tried.
Man, how's everything with you, man? What's going on, man? Are you still Division?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, actually, it's been difficult to play this weekend. I got my son for the next week, and he literally ran through in the last 3 days, and he's on level. He's a level 30 now. Beat the game.
Awesome.
And I think
that's
he's
good.
Done. I don't
good.
Know
that's
if
good.
He's going to go into the dizzy, into the dark zone or the douche zone, as some of our listeners' wives have commented on Twitter. Oh, we'll see.
All right. For a second, I remember playing online, and I got to see you online, and it said level 9. I'm like, wait a minute. Did Pete just create a new character and just...
That's my
okay.
son.
That's
my
your son.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. And also joining me this week, we have Boston J.
What's up, guys? Welcome back, Danny.
Ah, thanks, man. It was only one day. It's not...
I know,
whole...
but me and Pete had a very fun, involved Division conversation on Monday, so... It's nice to have you back to balance it out. Funny enough, I've been taking a break from the Division since that episode, so probably we'll get some playtime in later tonight, because I missed it a little bit. It was nice to give it a little bit of breathing room so I wouldn't get too burned out on it, and now it's fresh again. I want to get back into it, because actually you're farther than me now, Danny, because you're like, what, level 25 now? And I'm still...
25, 26.
Yeah, I'm still 22, so I got to get some catching up to you. Pete, what level are you now? Have you hit in-game?
28-something, but I've already beaten the game.
Okay.
So I'm like, now I'm just now going through and just knocking out all the side quests that I should have done while I was in those areas. But I've played with so many random different peoples.
Yeah.
Throughout my experience, throughout the past week and a half, 2 weeks, that I've just been jumping from major experience to major level, milestones, and just going back and forth. And just I beat the game. Didn't even realize I did.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. So head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. And share it with your friends. Share it. And you can subscribe and other places too. You can find us on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, everywhere. We're everywhere. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Remember, you could also continue to take this short survey. It will help us out big time. Just go to playsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com and help us make the show even better. All right, Pete, it is time. It's time for fan mail.
Fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
Yes.
Oh, it's back.
Woo. It's back. We haven't done this in a while. Woo. We have a lot of emails.
I was just happy that I was able to get it out on guttural like that. It's been a while. Thought I was losing my mojo.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But it's good. I think you only messed up maybe a couple times in the past, but you're getting better, Pete.
Well, there was one a couple weeks ago. I was concerned. Like, I was like, damn, dude. It sounded like a dying, like a cat. It was bad.
Yeah. Well, you probably were sick.
No,
it happens.
No. Just I don't know. Just didn't have it with me. I think I lost my mojo for a little bit, but the division's out, so I got my mojo back. So let's do this.
All right, let's do this. So you guys want to pick any emails there? We have a lot here. We have a lot. We could go with. You know what? I think we should start with the one for Patrick.
I was just reading it and laughing about it. Yeah.
All right, so you want to start with that?
Yeah, so this one's from Rufus from New York. Shout out to Rufus. He says,
New York!
Listening to my rant about the Nintendo NX, how it must run at 1080p, 60fps, resolutions and frame rates to Xbox One, and, as in his words, believe it or not, the PlayStation 4 doesn't always achieve. Quotations, he says, I noticed how you glossed over the PS4, not always hitting the mark and focused on Xbox. Nice going. Fair enough accusation. All I can say is you've turned into one elitist mofo. So far, I've seen stunning games run at sub 1080p resolutions and really cannot tell the difference much of the time. So stop sounding like someone fresh out of a GameSpot forum. I have never been to the GameSpot forums. Thank you, sir. I'm from GameFAQs, old school. And just enjoy great games on machines that can or can't always hit your holy 1080p, you damn elitist UPS. Love your show, keeping the great work. Fair enough, Rufus. I will give you the fact that Xbox One PS4 does not hit the resolutions and frame rates they should. But, I mean, that's no excuse. I think everyone's equally guilty of this. But I feel like if you are the third company that needs to make a new powerful piece of hardware to stay relevant in the third-party system, because obviously Nintendo's first-party games are fantastic regardless, but they need third-party support. Let's be honest here. They need a better online infrastructure. What they've done with the Wii U has been, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of what they've done in the past with the Wii and their handheld systems like the DS as well. But come on, and if you're going to drop money on a new system, don't you have some expectations that it should hit a standard that I feel like in 2016 should exist by now? So, I mean, yes, if the new Xbox and new PlayStation came out, you know, next year, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, I would expect that same level of quality, if not even higher, because they are marketed as higher end systems. I don't expect that from Nintendo. I would expect Nintendo to be a high end system since, I guess, what, the Super Nintendo was the greatest, hottest thing on the planet. That's just never been their ballpark. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're making new hardware and you want me to drop my $300 to $400, it damn well better hit some benchmarks I feel are acceptable to have in 2016. Because, you know, new for Zelda you. Looks for amazing. You, for I don't know. For to be fair,
for me,
does that really
I
not bother you?
Games. Nope.
You don't have any standards games. For the graphical qualities of a new system.
Nope.
That's
nope,
fair.
Nope,
I cannot impose my values on you, but that's just for me.
No, that's fine. Here's the thing, Patrick. Here's the thing, and everybody else out there. If the experience is good, doesn't matter how is the graphics. I don't care about the 1080p BS and the thing that everybody been talking about for the past few days. Oh, Quantum Break 720p. Who gives a flying shit about that, man? I personally don't care. I just want a great game, great story, just the whole package. Now, if it's a situation that I'm playing a game, and it's just it has horrible controls, it's slow as hell, it ruins my experience, then it bothers me. But that, I trust Nintendo when it comes to that. Look, the Wii wasn't the greatest graphical system out there.
No.
It has some
It had
decent,
fun games, but yes. My point is there were a lot of games on the Wii that were held back by being on the Wii because graphically they just looked ugly. I mean, I guess for me, one of the biggest ones would be Twilight Princess or Skyward Sword, the two Zelda games on the system. They just looked ugly. Like, you could see
but
a beautiful
what?
Game contextually.
But how that ruins the experience, though? How that
it was
ruined
the lack of anti-aliasing and the lack of a proper resolution. It just, the whole experience, I felt like, could have been so much better if it had been a consistent graphical quality. Because, like, the whole game, I was always like, man, I wish this looked a little bit better. I wish the distance wasn't so blurry. Like, I can't tell what's off. You know, over the next horizon. I just think for games that pride them, especially Zelda, again, I'm talking specifically about Zelda here because that's the main game I want for hopefully the NX coming out this year. So when I think about the fact they're making open world Zelda, I don't want to have an experience where like I look off in the distance and it's like, you know, 2005 Oblivion where like there's this fog or just graphical glitches or just can't handle, you know, taking that world and making it appear properly. I mean, again, because obviously you have things like The Witcher, which spoil us last year. But we're now on the other side of the spectrum, where Zelda is almost trying to emulate some of those aspects of an open-world RPG. I just want it to look as good as it should look. I want it to look the same as it does in the minds of the creators of the game, and I don't want to be held back by the fact that they want to sell lower-budget hardware to move more units. Because, again, if gaming is an art form, you know, wouldn't you want to have your artwork hanging up in the Louvre in Paris, just like in someone's basement collecting dust? I mean, just, I think these things deserve to have the respect and the limelight and the technology behind them to make them as good as they could be. Otherwise, why are we spending these millions of dollars to make these games when they're not up to the standards of their own creators?
Okay, so when you have a game like Rocket League, does it have to be 1080p?
Thank you.
No, because it's not an open world experience. It's a sports game. Nothing wrong with that. If your game engine can perfectly run what you're trying to accomplish, then you've succeeded.
So if you
frame rate's the biggest thing.
And this is me saying this. So if you have a game such as Minecraft, does it have to be 1080p?
No, because it's a different art style. It's not trying to be anything other than a block-based art style. Obviously, you can still have an issue where your rendering is not proper and you're not seeing as far as you feel like you should in the Minecraft world. But I think because they went with that art style, they removed that limitation because it's procedurally generated. And I feel like if a realistic, like Witcher 3 tried to do that same thing where it just naturally builds the world in front of you instead of just loading it all at once, I just feel that that's, yeah.
Like, yeah. You know what it is that bothers me, Patrick? That I mean, I'm not saying that it's only you, but it's just the gaming community is so caught on with the whole graphics and 1080p.
We've always been like that.
I see both sides, Danny. So that's why I use those examples because they were a little bit on the non-graphic heavy type games, right? But when you have games such as The Division, such as Witcher, such as the up and coming, what is it, the Uncharted game, games that are going to immerse you into that world. You want the best and you want the most that system can handle. Now, it almost looks as if now, with all of these games that are coming out, these exclusives, especially from Microsoft, that used to be that, okay, Microsoft exclusives, we're going to get the 1080 treatment. Everything else is going to go 90 or the 900p route. Now we're seeing that other, you know, the potential exclusives could be coming out with less than 1080 and even less than 900. When it's a game that's supposed to immerse you into that environment, such as a Quantum Break, and it doesn't deliver, is it now the game's fault because maybe they're shooting too high? Or is it maybe because you're limited by the system resources that Microsoft provided them?
Well, now you're back at the issue of parity. I mean, do you lower a game's overall quality to match what the consoles can put out? Because clearly no company yet has been willing to say, you know, we'll take that issue head on. It's always, you know, it's a business decision. I respect that. But I feel like sometimes you either be honest and straight up like they did with The Witcher, because you compare what The Witcher 3 looked like in 2013 when it first showed off to us to what it ended up coming out with. Huge differences in lighting. The lighting engine would just never have run on the PS4 and the Xbox. And that's fine. The game ended up looking beautiful anyways because they designed it that way. But sometimes games just are not ready, or I feel like they did not have the proper amount of going back in and be either muting and saying, look, we have to take this game down a couple of notches to make sure it runs at a good frame rate on all platforms, or you be underhanded about it and you just don't talk about it. And of course the internet forums light up in anger and rage. It's like, well, you know, why is no one else talking about the fact this game is, you know, uglier than it was 2 years ago? That's the nature of game design. But the important thing is making sure your game runs efficiently with a frame rate where at no point does it have either a hiccup or a graphical failure that kicks you out of your experience, go, oh, wow, why isn't this game optimized better? The minute you have that thought, the game world has lost you. It's hard to put yourself back in there.
I disagree, man. I'm sorry. I disagree.
Okay.
Look, gaming companies need to make games that is fun. Who cares about graphics? All these P nonsense, 60 frame per second nonsense. Show me a game that is fun and that I'm enjoying. When I'm playing a game, I'm not looking at how many pixels are on the screen. I just want to have a great time. Sometimes there's games I just play and I don't even care about that stuff. I didn't even notice. And then I see everybody debating on it on Twitter because they're to start some fanboy stuff, and
it has nothing to do with fanboy stuff.
No, though. But I'm talking about recently. Like, I've been seeing that lately. Oh, Quantum Break, 720p. I'm like,
well, maybe, maybe you need to clean up your friends list and get all that negativity out of your environment. No, but
Paris posted that on our chat. Like, yo, look what everybody's talking about. I'm like, really? Like, I never even mentioned it on the Twitter because it's like, why are people still talking about that?
Because it's 2016 and everybody wants the best. Everybody expects the best, especially when you're talking about alleged AAA titles or alleged new IPs that are supposed to change the way Microsoft's, you know, is being presented as a gaming powerhouse, I guess that's the best way to say. When you've got a game that's been as heavily marketed and allegedly looked forward to, anticipated, like a Quantum Break, and then they come up and it's, you know, and it's kind of like you're at the Price is Right and you get and you miss the shot and you're whap, whap, whap,
so let me ask you this, Pete. Let me ask you this, because you love the Division. What happened if you find out that the game is 720p?
Oh, I know it's at 900p because it's on my Xbox One.
But if I
throw it on my PC, I'm looking at it at full 1080 glory.
But let me ask you, did that ruin your experience?
On the Xbox? No.
But okay, it matters so much?
But I look forward to playing it on the PC because the game looks that much better on the PC. Yeah. And that's what happens when you have bigger, better hardware supporting your game.
Again, Pete, you're still playing the game. You're in level 28. You're level 28. You finish all the missions. You're still having fun. You're still playing that game. All your friends are playing that game. How 900p is ruining your experience and your experience,
I never
Patrick.
Said, but see, you can't put words in my mouth. You can't say that it's ruining my experience.
No,
I have,
but
I've,
just,
hold on.
Just,
I've okay. actually lowered my expectation because I'm playing it on the Xbox, knowing that as soon as I fire up my PC in my office, that I know that the expectation of the graphical quality and the environment, no freaking anti-aliasing or any of that crap, is going to happen because I know it's going to look beautiful. And again, this is because of me. I'm tempering my expectations, knowing that the Xbox can't handle what I would normally get if I was playing it on PS4 or playing it on my PC.
Yeah, but we also got to say this, too. PlayStation 4 is not all games is 1080 either. You know, it's not.
I never said that.
I'm not saying you. Just other just conversations I've been reading.
But understand, when you've got 15 people telling you that you walk and talk and smell like a duck, chances are you walk and talk and smell like a duck. You're a duck, right? So if all you hear is complaints that the Xbox, you know, I played it on the Xbox, it's only 720, it's only 900p. There's a reason why they're in second place in sales. There's a reason for that. It's because they're selling us. And yes, I've appreciate and I enjoy my experience on Xbox Live, and it's not because it's at 900p. It's because all my friends play on Xbox Live, and that's where we've always played for the past 8-9 years, actually longer than that. You know, that's where I've always played, so I've continued to support the Emerald because my friends play there, and that's what I primarily do. Is I play first person, third person, or I play multiplayer games online, so I go to the ecosystem that supplies the better opportunity for me to enjoy that with my friends. Now, do I have as many of those friends on PC and or PS4? Unfortunately, they don't. But I will admit that they do provide a much better graphical quality because of better hardware. And for me, that increases my appreciation for a game if it looks better if I'm playing it when I'm playing it.
Okay.
And again, it's an opinion. Everybody's got one, like booty holes, dude.
Yeah. We all gonna have an opinion. And look, anybody's listening to this, let us know your opinion. I know there's gonna be people that are gonna be backing me up. There's gonna be some that's gonna hate my opinion. And no,
everybody's gonna hate your opinion,
Patrick.
Everybody's gonna appreciate mine because I told the truth.
Nah, I don't care. Paris, where you're at? I know you're driving right now, listening to this podcast.
Paris is driving off the expressway right now. He just ran into a ditch because he's agreeing with me again.
No, but even he said it. He's like, I just want to have fun. Tired of this nonsense. I don't know, man. Nintendo, do your thing.
Step your game up.
No, make fun games.
Step your tech game please up, man. Come on.
Please.
Stop giving
the
it,
only
stop
thing,
giving,
no. The only thing I would like for them to step up their game is the online thing. That's the only thing.
And stop giving
to make
us
it
gimmicky
to make
controllers.
It easy to people. That's it. Graphics, I don't care about that.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so I have this email. This is from G Wade. Let's see. There's no location. I don't know if he's from Miami or outside, but he goes, hey guys, this is G Wade. I just heard an older episode from another podcast, The Comedy Button. Don't know what that. That there will be already a Friday the 13th game, and it sounded like it was a 1 versus 7 or a 1 versus 1 versus 1 versus 1. It was very long. Survival type of game. I was just curious if you have heard of it. I think we've spoken about this.
We spoke about it in the past. Mm-hmm. Yeah. First to know.
If so, what is it like? What system? Also, I'm a huge God of War fan. I only have an Xbox. As of now, I really like the 360 game, Dante's Inferno. Pretty good game.
Yeah.
Think that it will make a comeback? If not, what games like those are on Xbox One? Patrick, you probably know about this. Mm-hmm. Thanks for reading this, and I look forward to next week's show. P.S. I love the 2-a-week schedule. He loves our daily, well, not daily, our weekly 2 episodes every week. That's dope. So thanks, G Wade. Patrick, I think it's all you, man.
Okay. I mean,
you know more about this.
First off, I wish I could give you an episode number, but we did talk about the Friday the 13th game in length when it's first announced. And you're right. I mean, it technically is a 1 versus 7, but really, as you said, it's 1 versus 1 versus 1 in infinite, because as the humans, you're technically on a team, but it's kind of like rules of horror movie are, I care about me more than I care about you. So if I can trip you up and get you killed so I can run faster than you, I'm going to do that. If I can get to the boat and repair it before you can, I'm going to leave you on the shore. So the game sounds great conceptually. It's still very much actively in development. You can go to the website, which is f13game.com. They have a whole list of the developments they've been doing right now. Obviously, they have the support, you know, of the original director, of the original guy who played Jason. You know, everything they need to be successful. Screenshots are up. It looks great. The idea sounds amazing. There's a couple of alpha gameplay footages you can find on YouTube. They're very short, though. So, I mean, this is coming. Right now, it's just a PC game, but I would imagine as this picks up support, I don't see any reason why it would not be on the Xbox or the PlayStation as well. Because, I mean, again, this is actual Friday the 13th. This is the real marketing team behind it. And the last game they had was that god-awful NES game.
You know, oh my God!
2 decades
it was
ago,
crap,
a horrible,
game.
Horrible game. You know,
bad.
This license deserves a lot more. So I think this will be a winner for them. I'm very much looking forward to getting more information about hopefully they have a beta or an alpha playable at some point. So that looks good. As far as things like God of War and Xbox, that's a pretty small list of games, to be honest.
Isn't it Transformers kind of similar to that? Or
yeah.
Really?
Well, I mean, again, that's more. It's a platinum game. So again, it's more in line with the Bayonetta type of combo system versus the Dante's Inferno, which is the more traditional God of War hack and slash, where really I haven't been seeing games like that on this generation. We've been moving more towards the RPGifying of everything and less away from the hardcore, you know, hack and slash, you know, dodge roll mentality. I love Dante's Inferno. I thought it was one of the best games of last generation. I really enjoyed it. I don't think we'll ever get anything kind of a sequel out of that, because I don't think it sold as well as they wanted, because the marketing machine spent a lot of money on it. I don't think it delivered, because, again, got people associated it with God of War and thought it was a knockoff, and it wasn't. It was a unique enough game. But, again, like, I really do wish there was more hack and slash games on Xbox One or PS4 in general, because right now what you have is the predominance of the Dark Souls series. Obviously, Dark Souls 3 is coming out very soon, but that is a very different type of action game from what you consider would be a God of War style of action game. So really, I mean, I wish I could name drop anything, but there's nothing. I haven't really played...
Just remakes.
Yeah, there's just remakes, really. I haven't really played anything worthy of saying, like, yeah, this is the successor to the God of War throne, or, you know, then, you know, I'm still waiting on Ninja Gaiden 4. I'm still waiting on the next Devil May Cry. I mean, there's a lot of these series I'm anticipating coming out at some point on next gen, because, again, as Danny just said, all we've had is just remakes of previous games in the series ad nauseam. Yeah. So yeah, we need some new blood in the action game genre immediately. Because really, the only thing I would say is if you're lucky enough to have a Wii U, G-Wade, Bayonetta 2 is what you want to play. Because that, yes, by far is the best action game of this generation right now. But it's unfortunately limited to the Wii U, so you have to have a Wii U to get it. But if you never played the original Bayonetta, there is a bundle that comes with both games. And I think I saw it's like $30 at Walmart right now.
Well, I think even cheaper now.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's really cheap right now. So if you're in the market and you already kind of want a Wii U anyways, I wouldn't say it's a bad idea to go ahead and get a Wii U to play Bayonetta 2. Now, obviously, I hope, saying that Bayonetta 2 will be ported to the Nintendo NX sometimes later that year, because I definitely would buy that in a heartbeat. But right now, yeah, it's a drought of action games. Too many RPGs, too many shooters, too many MMO-like games out there. Not complaining, I have fun with those, but I would like, you know, a back-to-basics hardcore action game. So yeah, really unfortunate. There's nothing here like I name drop. The best I can say is go back and replace, you know, Ninja Gaiden 2 again, or Ninja Gaiden Black, or Devil May Cry 3 or 4.
I don't know about the last Ninja Gaiden. Stay away from
that. No, not 3. I didn't say perfect. I said Ninja Gaiden Black, Ninja Gaiden 2.
Okay, I'm just saying, just in case.
Yeah, do not play 3.
Just in case.
It's horrible.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So we have another email. This is from Rachel from Philly. Rachel, what's up? Hey, everyone. Rachel here. Fairly a new listener out of Philly. This E3 shakeup has been really interesting. Wondering what are your predictions showcase wise for this year's E3? Do you think all eyes on EA Play in order to figure out how to proceed with E3, and how would you like to see E3 evolve? Happy 11th anniversary. Thanks for being one of the best podcasts out there. Take care. Thanks, Rachel. Really, really nice. You should definitely listen to an episode that came out last week, episode 550. We had Rich Taylor from the ESA. We spoke about E3 and how they should have this event open to the public, and they need to make changes, because I feel that if they still keep it the same, eventually it's going to hurt E3, and it's also going to hurt the gaming industry, because right now they're depending too much on old media. I think they should support now more YouTubers, more live streamers, and also podcasters to attend the event, and also have it open to the public. You know, it doesn't have to be the first few days, but maybe the last day, have it open for, you know, for the gamers, they're the fans, and they could attend the event. So that's my thing about how we would like to see E3 evolve, you know, in the future and stuff. So things like EA Play, stuff like that. I know Activision, it was a couple of years ago, they left E3. And they had like a press conference. They had like a private media event away from E3. That was okay. It didn't work. They went back to the conference and they show their games and stuff. Now with EA Play, that's something that's going to be really, really interesting, because we don't know how many people are going to show up. We don't know if this is going to create a big buzz for EA. Another thing too is the space, right, Possum? We talked about this a couple episodes ago. There's going to be a lot of space, because look, there's no EA, there's no Activision, there's no Disney, there's no Wargaming, and who knows from now to June how many other companies are going to be out of E3, you know? So
yeah, I mean, this could be one of many tumbling blocks. I mean, we could see a very radically different E3 once we walk in there in June in person. I'm curious on two factors here. I mean,
yeah,
what are they going to do with that space? Are they going to restructure it to fill it with other people that maybe have been shoved off to the side? And, you know, those meeting rooms they have in the cubicles that we've been to in meetings in the past. Will some of those guys get a bit more shine now? Do they have the budget to do that in the first place? Or could we see, you know, to answer Rachel's question, moving forward, will we see a complete restructuring where basically you take, you know, maybe the South Hall is for journalists, and the West Hall is for everybody else, like people that want to come in for daily admission? Do you go that route of just having them concurrent, but isolating them to the two ends of the LA Convention Center so they don't interfere with each other, but you have just as much excitement that you normally would, but now it's equally divided. Now people can't complain of like, oh, why can't I go to E3? Why do I feel blocked out as a fan? Why do I have to go through all these official channels to get my information? When I'm like, why don't you just put YouTube and Twitch in the same hall and make that the community hall? So you already have that younger audience gravitates towards the YouTube and Twitch people. And the other hall is confined. It can be the IGNs, the GameSpots, you know, the other larger outlets out there with the big, you know, corporate Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft booths. I mean, I can picture that floor plan wise, maybe moving forward 5 years, but a lot of questions. So I think right this year will be the interesting part, because I think we'll get a pretty good understanding and grasp of what they want to do moving forward. Because yeah, I don't see companies coming back after leaving E3. If they make this kind of decision and they do decide to go purely in an EA style way of having an offsite event, all people will follow suit, because that's got to be cheaper than paying to.
No, it is cheaper. It is cheaper, but if they have it open to the public too, they don't want to leave missed opportunity either, yeah. Too possibly. So if they have it private, then yeah, it doesn't make sense. They're paying too much for the booth. Mm-hmm. Might as well just have a open event outside of E3, close to the area, so it could be easier not only for the media but also for the gamers to attend. You know, yeah. So that's what EA is doing. I think is a perfect location. You know, a couple of years ago, Nintendo did the Smash Brothers event. They also had an event last year for was it a Mario Maker, and it worked. It was perfect, yep. Area. It was right next to the convention. It was perfect location.
Yeah, and
so.
I said that to Rich. I definitely think that Nintendo's model is the one you want to emulate moving forward. You yep. Just enough community involvement to be fun, but not to the extent where it shuts the event down because there's too many people showing up. You keep it controlled, you keep it tight, but you keep it exclusive enough where people are like, oh man, that's going to be in town. I'm in LA. I'm going to go out of my way to go to that, because, you know, what other chance am I going to have to, you know, participate in a Smash tournament, or, you know, for instance, see whatever the new Pokemon Sun and Moon is going to be. You know, a lot, Nintendo has so many things they could roll with this idea wise. And I feel like now the EA and Activision have plenty of big properties that they could show off as well. I mean, namely Mass Effect 4. You know, will that be showable to fans at E3 at EA Play, or that's strictly going to be a behind closed door thing for the media? I have a lot of questions. We'll have to see. Yeah,
definitely.
You know who might have answers for you, Patrick?
Who's that?
All right. So there's this web series on YouTube, courtesy of Delta Airlines and CBS Local. It's called Guiding Greatness. So for like the past couple of weeks, they've had some of the greatest NCAA men's basketball minds sharing their insights. And I think they're the type of people that you would want to listen to get good information, how to succeed. And I think that's probably what Nintendo needs right about now.
Oh, hey, stop hating on Nintendo.
No, but in all seriousness, it's in the middle of, this is March, right? March Madness, the NCAA tournament. Go you. You know, they're in the Sweet 16. Actually, this week, Greg Gard, he's the head coach over at Wisconsin. They just had an amazing game last second, 3-pointer to win and get into the Sweet 16. He talks about his journey in NCAA and replacing the legendary Bill Ryan. Then you've got, like I spoke about last week, Coach K from Duke. Mm-hmm. Got Patrick Chambers from Penn State, although I'm a Hurricane, and you know, I'll support him because it's a great conversation. Mark Fox over at Georgia, thank you for giving us Mark Richt. But it's an exclusive video series that lets you listen straight from the mouths of some of the NCAA college basketball coaches who have succeeded and led the sport to be such a great sport. These are men who have seen it all, heard it all, and are willing to share their experiences, their stories, their consistency, the pressure, the heartbreaks, the victory, the disappointments, and how to be great. So the Guiding Greatness presents human stories told through first-person recollections, images, and videos. But you can hear the passion in their voice when they talk about how they're coaching the kids in the future of our great nation. So if you guys have a chance, go over to YouTube or go directly to guidinggreatness.com and take a look, take a listen, check out, you know, the voices from some of the greatest minds in NCAA basketball.
Definitely, man. All right, so we're going to play this voicemail. Patrick, I hope you're ready for this one. This is a pretty good one.
I am.
All right, so let's play it right now.
What's up, GamerTag Radio crew? Shawan here, checking in from Connecticut. First-time caller. I noticed that Microsoft Spring Event for Xbox and PC drew the attention of everyone the world over. And it seems that Microsoft, to me, is playing the one trump card that it knows the competition can't compete with. And that's not necessarily Xbox or Windows. it's the almighty dollar. Don't get me wrong, Nintendo and Sony are not broke, and I'm not trying to incite a fanboy war. But I think one day Microsoft woke up and realized this gaming thing is pretty big in itself. And they also realized that their checkbook is pretty darn big. Maybe that's just me, but that's the way that I saw it. Phil Spencer is saying things that were not part of the tradition or the norm of video games, not even in the PC market. And it appears that he is getting approval from Mr. Nadella, the new CEO of Microsoft, to pretty much take that checkbook and fight it right their way to victory, cutting checks here and there. I may be wrong. You guys have a little more insight than I do, but, you know, thanks for all listening, and take care. Love the show. Listen to it all the time. Thank you.
So, Patrick, your thoughts about this, man? We had this conversation before we started recording about this. By the way, thanks for the voicemail. Yeah. I love voicemails.
So, shout out.
Very quick. For those that will like to call us, but they are, you know, somewhere international, you could also send us MP3, like record short audio through your phone, and you could send it to fanmail@gamertagworld.com. We could also, we'll play on the show. So there's a lot of people that have been sending us email. Keep it up. But if you want to add some voice into it, that's cool. You could record and send to us. We'll play on the show. So go for it, Patrick.
Yeah, so basically in a nutshell, he's claiming that Microsoft, because he's saying they have a bigger checkbook, theoretically, than what Sony and Nintendo war chest, if you will, that they can take more risk. And I probably would agree with this, namely because you have the new CEO of Microsoft, Satya Nadella, who is very pro-Xbox. Where in the past, the CEOs of Microsoft have always seen the Xbox brand as a hole in their pocket, that they understand why it exists, but they always questioned, you know, is this going to be around here long term? I mean, this doesn't seem like the right way for us to move forward. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, Xbox brands, and Phil Spencer has played a huge part in that, has proved them wrong. That is a sustainable brand. And more than that, it is their games division now. As they've said, this is now going moving forward. The Xbox brand is not just making console games. This is the overall games division for the Windows company. And that's a brilliant restructuring move, in my opinion, because it allocates them the resources, the marketing, the manpower, everything they need to make the best what they can do. I think this is huge.
Phil Spencer mentioned that, right, during mm-hmm. the keynote that you guys attended?
He did, yeah. I mean, this is the future of Xbox moving forward. It actually gets me excited for the potential of what we can see gaming-wise from first-party Microsoft. I would hope that now that they've made this restructuring move, they would invite more companies to become first-party developers for Xbox. Because it's clear, you know, the exclusivity of games is in jeopardy. As we see, games are going to be coming between Xbox and Windows at the same time. So that's either a love it or hate it thing right there. I'm all for that. I think there's like wrong with that, of expanding that audience and making sure that the Xbox moving forward is still an affordable option for people who want to play high-end games but cannot afford to spend that $1,000 to $2,000 that you need to be able to play high-end PC gaming. And moving forward on top of that, the concept of VR. You know, will Microsoft embrace VR as they have, you know, with their HoloLens technology that they've demonstrated in the past? I'm hoping that they see VR moving forward on Xbox as well. But back to his point, yes, I do think this is a positive in Microsoft's book of, you know, wins, is that they have this huge amount of money available to them, and a company with a CEO that respects and embraces their vision and doesn't see them as a drain financially. So I cannot personally speak to how Sony is structured, how Nintendo is structured, because those are Japanese companies, and traditionally they keep that stuff very in-house and don't share that kind of information. That's just the culture of that business in Japan. But because we do live in America and we are more open to the Microsoft companies, the American company, yeah, I think this is a huge advantage they will have long-term over Sony and Nintendo if they take advantage of it. And, you know, if this is any indication of what we've seen so far since Xbox One was announced to where it is now, yeah, the future looks bright for Xbox. As long as they continue to keep developing great games in-house, have great hardware developed for whatever the future Xbox, you know, SKUs are going to be. And then again, as always, the marketing has always been strong in Microsoft. They just need to continue to be there to back up the quality of their products. And then the gamers will come. You know, you make a great game, people will be there for it, no question.
All right, Pete, you want to read
Don't tell me what to read. I will read what I want to read.
No, no, this one.
Grown man. He will read every email he wants.
I know. This one of Jules. That one is really good. Because this is like a perfect conversation. So we could, you know, you'll see. You'll see why.
All right. Hey, guys and girl. I think he's referencing you.
No, no, no. It's the one that says, wait, it's the one that says Jules again. You're reading something else.
I'm reading an older one.
He's reading a very old one.
God, yeah, I wish you could include that one.
Awesome, the show. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. All right, this is from Jules again. Hi, this is Jules from Louisiana. Oh man, I would die for some beignets right now. But I can't. I can't. No beignets. No, because I'm trying to eat and be healthy now. FYI, I found you guys on Spotify the day they introduced shows. With that said, I immediately searched gaming podcasts as I'm really just getting back into PC gaming. Good for you. And really gaming consistently overall. That leads me to my one and only real gripe, other than you guys still really haven't pushed the Steam controller. I play Division with it now. It's amazing. Good for you.
We have been talking about
like
Steam.
I think I'm the only one who hasn't tried the Steam controller yet.
No, I still haven't gotten it yet.
Okay,
either.
So me and Pete haven't tried it yet, so we're still open to it, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, the length of the podcast, what gives? I listen normally at work or in the car. The conversations are generally engrossing. The difference in opinion is entertaining, and podcast is overall informative. Sometimes I wish I could just jump into the conversations. They seem so casual, like hanging with friends. My question is, other than life commitments, which I understand, why is the podcast so short?
What?
I listen to a lot of the podcasts with pre-recorded interviews, which last maybe 20 minutes, then about 4 minutes of advertising that are injected, followed by 1 to 2 minute pitch for Uber or Loot Crate, which isn't a problem. So on a 56 minute podcast, I'm maybe getting 30 minutes of info, debate, and opinion between four guys passionate and knowledgeable about the gaming industry. Long story short, give us more content. Thanks. Love the cast. Keep up the good work. Find me on Steam. I don't know if I should give this out, but Monster_Mini.
All right. So, there's a lot of things in that email. So I'm going to go first with why the podcast so short. First of all, we started with one episode. Now we're releasing two episodes per week. And the whole sponsor stuff and everything, that helps the show. You know, thanks to all the sponsors that have been supporting us since day one. Because we'll go back in the days when we had like our first sponsor, Pete. Remember, I don't know if you were around or not, the U.S. Navy. No, you were not around.
Utnawi?
No,
I wasn't here for Utnawi.
Nah. U.S. Navy was the first one. And people were like, hey, why do they have ads already? That a bunch of sellouts. No, man. It helped pay the bills. It helped us support the show. So it's a good thing. Now, is it short, the show? No. Now, does length of the show matters? To me, no. Because I don't want to record a two-hour show for like a two-hour episode and the half of the show is just dry and boring. To me, is if I feel that 60 minutes is great content that we have for today's episode, I'll stick with that. You know, to me, length doesn't matter. To me, it's all about content. You know, well, Pete, come on. Length of the episode. Oh, you're
my God.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe this.
If Pete laughed, I wouldn't have laughed.
That was good. That was good, Pete. That was good. That was good. I'll leave that on the show. That was good.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm 42.
It's okay.
Going on 12. I apologize. That's so good. Oh my God.
Fee is an idiot. All right. So I don't know. Like, am I right? Like, I think 60 minutes, it's good. What we have for the show. So daily, like, I mean, two episodes a week.
All right. So there's been shows where we've gone into it thinking, okay, we'll do a quick 20, 30 minute show in and out. But then that show turns out to be an hour and a half long when you include everything else.
Yeah.
Understand that while we generally share show notes prior to the show, a lot of this is off the cuff and we're winging it. I mean, it's been 10 plus years and we're still winging it on recording day. But that's how and why the conversation seems so natural and fluid. It's because we're not scripted. We're not following a set list of things and have to stick to timelines. And it comes across better as a conversation versus as if, you know, we're on a 4-person interview trying to get trying to get our points across.
And so, not only that, we're not trying to force it either.
Like, well, unless you're Danny and you're interrupting people. Thanks.
Nah, I'm not. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like doing it like this, it sounds real, man. I don't want to be forcing you guys like, hey,
continue talking. We have to make an hour and a half show.
Oh, like, no. We'll just let Poston go and let's let him talk. We can cover plenty of time.
Look, let me tell you, there's been moments that we had like an hour and 30 minutes conversation. It was so good. I'm like, man, I don't want to make it short. Let me just keep it like that. It happens once in the blue, you know, but I don't want to say, I don't want to repeat what I said before, because then P is going to be cracking up. But yeah.
Well, if you want longer conversations, go check out some of our older stuff. Go through the archives and listen to the older stuff. We generally, on those shows, were anywhere from an hour to an hour and 15, sometimes 20 minutes. So if you got a really long drive, you could probably knock out two shows a day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, right now we're hitting about 45 minutes to an hour total, and that's like the happy medium spot with everything included. And again, we're doing this on our free time, you know, when, you know, I could be watching Arrow with my daughter, which is actually, it's on Tuesdays, so it's not really interfering. But, you know, it's we fit our lives, we fit our personal schedules around these things to make sure that we come out with the content for you guys. So
definitely. P, you're an idiot. I don't know why you were laughing at that.
Oh, come on, man. You're the one with the funny innuendo. And of course, I'm 12 years old, so.
Oh, my God. want to read one more email, Patrick?
You need to leave that in the show.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I have to. That's funny. It's funny. It's really funny.
Length.
See, even you're laughing. So how do you want to hear it? All right. I got one from Brockness in Arizona. Howdy all. Just have to say, I love what you guys and your podcast. I love what you guys do. Your podcast is a favorite of mine each week. And that's saying something, as I subscribe to 40 podcasts currently. I was listening to the show this morning, and not 30 minutes after, I had ordered Ikeni to Yuki no Setsuna. I hope I said that right. on Amazon, you mentioned the fact that they are now selling import games. I'm excited to play this game. I love Square Enix, and I've been teaching myself Japanese for about a year, and finally getting to the point I can follow conversations, playing games, and watching anime is a great way to practice and hone my skills. Anyway, I rambled on too long. Take care, guys. Poston, you need to get with this guy and have like a rookie Japanese talk off.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I love picking up my conversational Japanese off watching their television, doing that for 20 years. I'm ashamed to say I don't know what Ikeni who Yuki no Setsuna is. I'm gonna have to Google that. I assume that's a visual novel, just off of the name. I could be wrong. I need to import more games on that topic, just because I feel like I've been so out of touch with Japanese game development for so long. Unless you count Front Software and Bloodborne and my rage at that game of how bad I am at it. But yeah, I mean, that's awesome that Amazon is on board with getting this stuff over to Americans that want to play it. And that's cool, Brock, that you have teaching yourself Japanese. I feel like I should know fluent Japanese by now if I wasn't like so lazy and did not sit down and do it critically. But yeah, I love their media. I love the language. I love picking things up by ear like that. So, I mean, that's awesome that you have been doing that and have the self-control and the dedication to actually learn things. So yeah, it is cool when you you listen to a foreign language long enough and you pick up on things and you don't have to have them translated for you. That's the fun of being human, man. You know, ideally everybody should know two languages or more, but you know, again, not enough time in the day to do that, unfortunately. Moving forward, definitely on my list of things. I want to learn Japanese at some point because I want to go to Tokyo Game Show, go cover that stuff in Japanese like a professional.
Yeah, well, you know, I want to do that at least once.
Hell
in my
yeah,
life. Right,
so
right,
fun.
Pete? You down to go, Pete, at least for
I'm
1 year?
I'm in all day long. I've been dying. That's one of the places that's one of the few places in this world that I would love to go to.
Yes. I have a friend that shout out to Infinite. Oh, my God. Twinfinite. There you go. Shout out to Twinfinite. They went to Japan for Tokyo Game Show. Yami, you know Yami, Pete.
Yeah, man. We went to that Venture Combat Ops event, dude. That was fun.
You heard P go, yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
It turned out Jamaican, man.
Hey, man, it's what happens when you live next door to Jamaicans, dude. You start picking it up, dude. God, next thing you know, we're eating Aki and oxtails.
Oh, actually, my God. That was so funny, man. By the way, if you want to take it old school, there was a time that every week, Poston had to show us like a word.
Oh my God.
Word. Yes. Possum Japanese word of the week. We need to bring that back.
Dope. Japanese word of the week. Yeah, Patrick, I think we got to bring that
we
back.
We should, because that gives me an excuse to learn the language. I've been putting it off for years.
Yeah, it was so awesome. We were learning.
Oh, God.
We were learning
awesome
new words every week.
But I want to shout out to Brock. I did just Google your game. and it is a turn-based RPG, not a visual novel. So I didn't want to insult you. I know some people are very defensive about their visual novels, but
I'm out.
The game
you said turn-based. I'm done.
The game is an RPG. But it sounds cool. I looked up some screenshots of it, and it says like it's trying to be a spiritual successor to Chrono Trigger. So, I mean, hey, that's all kinds of good bullet points for RPG fans. So I'll definitely have to check that game out. And apparently, it's a PS Vita game, too. So, yay. I'm always excited to hear about new PS Vita games, because I feel like if you have one, like, you deserve to have some games. Like, I feel so bad that Sony has just been slowly moving away from that. But it's so cool that the Japanese still, that's a platform that matters to them in Japan, so they're still making games, and now you have a legal way to import them through Amazon, so that's awesome.
Not all games though, Patrick.
Not all games, but some games. I feel like if you're a hardcore enough owner and you still own your Vita, you are totally willing to go through those steps to get those games that are probably never going to be localized at this point.
Sega, bring Phantasy Star Online 2 over here.
Seriously.
I'm still
everybody
waiting
wants that.
For it. My God, taking so long. Anyways, we're going to wrap it up. This was a great episode of Gamertag Radio. Fan mail all the way. So shout out to all the listeners out there that have been sending us email. Please continue if you want more fan mail. We have a couple here. We're going to save it when Paris joins us next time. So stay tuned for that. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/gamertag. And listen to our past episodes. And also, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher, and a bunch of other places. You'll find us. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. And, email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And that's it for my part. Pete, Patrick, whatever else you want to say before we bounce?
Length.
Hello? Okay.
Length. Silence.
Length. Wow, you guys are quiet.
Length.
Jesus.
I think that's all for this week. We'll let everyone get back to their 9 to 5. Don't listen to us ramble
back
on anymore.
To life. Anyways, we out. Peace. Bye.
Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.